We have a lot of floods in Missouri, so I hope you will forgive me, Admiral, if I direct my questions during this time to General Bostic, because his job is very, very important to thousands of Missouri families that live along our greatest rivers in this country. Let me start, General Bostic, about the Missouri River Recovery Program. Currently in the budget, let me just start with this question. Do you agree that the number one priority for the Army Corps of Engineers is flood management?
Senator, I would say the number one priority is the protection of life, and some of that will be in flood management, some of it will be in other areas, but protection of life and safety and risk management.
Well, and I'm not aware of where there is a significant risk to life in terms of the Army Corps' responsibilities, aside from flooding, which is obviously very important to my state and all of the people who live along the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. And obviously, protection of property is comes in behind protection of life. So I guess I am, and maybe this is something you can explain, and if you can't today, I will look forward to a follow-up. In the Missouri River Recovery Program right now in the budget, there is $5 million for flood management and north of $70 million for habitat. And that discrepancy, that disparity in terms of the priorities of the Army Corps is like fingernails on a blackboard to most Missouri families, particularly those who live and have land along the, our great rivers. And I would like you to comment on that, and if you believe that is an appropriate disparity between flood management and habitat, or whether you think that is out of whack, because I guarantee you that's what most of the folks I work for think.
Senator, if confirmed, I'd have to follow up with you on the details of the flood management and how that varies with the habitat. What I will say is that the Corps has done extensive studies into what happened this last year with the floods, particularly along the Missouri, made an assessment. There was a lot of damage that was done, and the Congress appropriated $1.7 billion in the supplemental. I don't know how much of that will break down in terms of repairing the systems in the Missouri, but I know that the Corps is committed to repairing those as quickly as possible. And if confirmed, I'll look into the specifics of the issue that you brought up here today.
Well, I'm confident that you will be confirmed, and I will look forward to some time with you to talk about that discrepancy. I can assure you that the members of the Missouri delegation that represent our state here, along with the other senators along the Missouri River, and by the way, the interesting thing along the Missouri River, I don't know what it is about the water of the Missouri, but almost every state in the Missouri River Basin has one Republican and one Democrat representing them in the United States Senate. It is a very bipartisan group, this Missouri River Working Group, that Senator Blunt and I, along with Senator Conrad and Hoven, have gotten started. And we are now, rather than working north versus south, which, is, as you may know, the historic fight has been, you know, navigation and irrigation up north versus navigation, recreation and irrigation up north versus navigation down south. We are now singing Kumbaya. We have joined hands and are united for flood control. And I think you will hit a real brick wall if there is continues to be that kind of discrepancy in terms of the priority of funding going forward. Bird's Point was blown, as you know. Now we've switched over to the Mississippi. It was very controversial. All of us opposed the blowing of Bird's Point. It was at 62.5 feet before it was blown. So far, the Army Corps has only rebuilt it to 55. I need a commitment from you today, General, or as soon as you can give it to me, if you're not comfortable giving it today, that it will get rebuilt to 62.
Senator, if confirmed, you have my commitment that I will work with the Corps of Engineers and ensure that they work as quickly as possible using the funds appropriated by the Congress to do the repairs that are necessary.
Well, that's a great answer, except it wasn't the answer I was looking for. I need to know from you, and I need to know before my vote on you, whether or not you will make the commitment that what the Army Corps blew up, they will put back to the way it was before they blew it up. And that will be one I will not be able to wait until your confirmation on. I need to know before your confirmation your feelings about that levee being built back up to the place it was before the Army Corps decided to blow it. That will be important to me, just so you know. Finally, I want to briefly talk with you, General. There seems to be a sense that if we're not earmarking in the United States Senate, the Army Corps will be ill-equipped to address the priorities of flood control and management along all of our great waterways in this country. Let's assume that, for purposes of this discussion, let me give you a hypothetical. If individual members of Congress were not injecting their priorities within the priorities that the engineers had determined were the best cost-benefit analysis for all of the uses of the rivers and the most important in terms of protection of property and protection of life, would the Army Corps be able to prioritize the funds given to them in a way that would address the most urgent needs of our waterways, as opposed to who sits on the Water Appropriations Committee deciding that their state deserved more just because they were the senior ranking member or the chairman of the subcommittee on water?
Senator, in my view, the Corps works for the American people who express their views through the Congress. The Corps works for the National Command Authority, the Secretary of Defense, and the President. And the Corps has to do that work for those two bodies under the laws that are written. While doing so, the Corps can prioritize projects through performance-based, but I think each one of those bodies in our law have got responsibilities to ensure that when those priorities are set by the Corps of Engineers, they fit within the expressed desires of the people through Congress and the National Command Authority.
Well, since you all do priorities based on performance-based measurement and on engineering studies and on safety and flood control, and you have those priorities, would you not agree, General, that just because a member happens to be the senior on a subcommittee of appropriations does not mean that their priority should substitute for a performance evaluation throughout the whole country?
Senator, as I had stated earlier, the Corps can only execute what is authorized and appropriated by Congress. Determining which member and whether they're senior or not, that is really not what the Corps is responsible to make decisions on. At this point, I can't make a personal decision one way or the other on your question, but I can say that the Corps will execute what the Congress authorizes and appropriates.
Well, I think obviously this is a delicate problem you face, and I put you on the spot here, and I apologize for that. I've done it more than once in these questions. I know that I have. I'll continue to follow up with you. It just when I examine the water budgets that have been done around this place, my state has a lot of water. We have the two mightiest rivers, the confluence of those rivers. The management of those rivers is very important. It's as important as rural airports are to my friend from Alaska. But if our state isn't fortunate enough to have a member on the right appropriations committee, then, frankly, we get to the back of the bus, not based on merit, not based on need, but just based on who's on what committee and how long they've been here and what party they belong to. And it seems to me a very backwards way to prioritize the resources of managing our rivers in this country, and I wanted to make that point while I had the chance. Thank you both very much for your service, and thank you for your patience, General Bostwick, and my very pointed questions.
Thank you, Senator McCaskill. Senator Graham.
General Bostwick, you sure you want this job?
Senator, I'm sure.
Well, you know, what Senator McCaskill is saying has got a lot of truth to it, that we need to spend taxpayer dollars wisely with some kind of plan. But I've been here for about an hour, and you've been asked about 35 specific things that people would like you to do before you get confirmed, which makes me believe that we seem to know our states better than maybe other people do, because I don't know about this thing you blew up. She wants you to build it back. I assume she knows what she's talking about. And I would support it. I don't know. Is that an earmark to to rebuild something you blew up?
No, to fix what was blown up by them is not an earmark, especially when they made a commitment to do so.
Okay.
When they blew it up.
All right. So the point is that we're trying to fix an old problem with a new way of doing business, and I just feel for you. The Panama Canal is going to be widened in 2014. Is that correct, General Bostic?
Sir, I understand that it will be widened in 2014.
And the ships on the sea today are going to be about replaced by ships almost three times their size. Is that correct?
I understand that to be true, Senator.
So if you widen the Panama Canal and these super cargo ships can come directly to the East Coast, that means we have to look at our infrastructure on the East Coast anew. Is that correct?
Senator, I'd say we have to look at our infrastructure across the country.
Do we have a plan to deal with the widening of the Panama Canal and how it would affect infrastructure in the nation to make sure we can export our products to the market? Is there a national vision to deal with the changes in shipping? Is there an administration plan or a congressional plan that you know of?
Sir, I can't answer whether there is or is not a plan.
Well, I can tell you there's not, and that reflects badly on us all. So to my colleagues, shipping as we know it's about to change. Earmarking is a very parochial endeavor that doesn't allow you to look beyond your local interest. But if you just withdraw from the game and your port, like Charleston, gets no money in the budget, and you think it should be considered based on a merit-based system, what do you do? So I would just say you've been beat up a lot, but I'm going to beat up myself and my colleagues. We have absolutely no vision as a nation to how to deal with a change in shipping. That's just one infrastructure change. So I would suggest that we all sit down with this administration and come up with a game plan and say, what does it mean if the ships are going to be three times the size they are today coming through the Panama Canal? What does it mean to the Mississippi River? Do you have to widen the Mississippi River because you can have more barge traffic? Can every port on the East Coast go to 50 feet, which is the minimum requirement to service these ships 24/7? And if every port can't, who says no? And if you're not lucky enough to get in the president's budget, what are you supposed to do? Go home to your people and say, sorry, we just lost, can't help you? I just don't think these are good responses to real problems. The Great Lakes, if it's the largest shoreline in the nation, somebody should come up. How do you deal with the largest shoreline in the nation? How does it fit into the change in export opportunity? The president says he wants to double exports in the next 5 years. Count me in. How the hell do you get your products to the market? What do you do when shipping changes? Does it affect transportation? Does it mean you're going to have more roads for trucks? So there is no vision in this country. And I pledge you, General Bostic, not just to complain, but to sit down and work with you to come up with a merit-based system that would allow the Congress and the administration in a collaborative fashion to get ahead of what is going to be a major change in our economy, rather than just talking about how bad earmarks are and how dirty the Congress is. I want to do a little more than that. I want to actually bring a solution. So if you don't like earmarking and you think it is corrupting and there's a case to be made, what have you done to fix it? What have you done to solve the problem of a world changing and America being left behind?